Well, good morning. Any of the children want to come forward today and put a few coins or paper bills in here for Heine Park? That would be great. Children, make your way this way. And it looks like we have children's church this morning, so make your way back out that door there, Mr. Lunsford, and I'm sure he's got something good planned for you. Well, they're flocking over here to the jar. Even Lisa. It's a blessing, isn't it? All right. Well, the Lord's good to us, and look like a couple little coins got away here I'll help with. We'll call them Duke shots. They missed. Savannah's stuffing them through like a good Tar Heel. All right, go back over there with Mommy. Go on back. Awesome. Well, Lord's good. Good. He's good to us, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Thank you for the music. I'm just always blessed, and I'm thankful for the ones who prepare the music each week, and I know they're praying through that, and God uses that to speak to us. You know, that's one of the ways that God shows us how good he is that he would speak to us, right? Now, he's not some far off away, distant God that we can't communicate with, that we're just praying to, but he's communicating with us, and he's speaking to us. And so, thank you, God, for speaking to me today. I hope he spoke to you. I hope that you're listening. I hope you come with a listening heart and an attentive ear, listening to the voice of God. And, you know, we hear it said a lot and probably drives you crazy, but we could all go home right now because everybody's probably thinking, yeah, we could. Okay, yeah. But we could really because God has spoken. He's been good to us. And, you know, one of the ways that God speaks, and he has really been doing this to me and for me over the last several years, is through children. And, you know, I didn't experience this until I started having children, you know. And, but it's amazing how God uses children. Matter of fact, if you read in the Bible, in the book of Matthew chapter 18, they were arguing about who's going to be the greatest, you know, in the kingdom. And Jesus said to them, he brings up a little child and he said, unless you become like this little child, he said, you won't even enter into the kingdom of God. And then a little bit later on in Matthew 18, he says, the greatest of those are those who are like these little children. And so he uses children to speak to us. God loves children. And man, God has really been speaking to me just through having children in my life. It's a great thing, right? It's an awesome thing. And they're a trip, you know, no doubt about it. They're something. But when I was single, you know, back when Kelsey used to call me a single loser, Jan, back in that day, you know, I would hear people speak and preach, and I remember I had this one guy who would teach Sunday school, and he would preach sometimes, and he would often talk about his child, you know, and he would talk a lot, and he would bring up illustrations, and, of course, all the girls in there, they'd say, oh, and they would laugh, and I would just be sitting there like, another child story, you know, I'd be thinking that, but I have become that person. I have become that person, you know. You ever know how, like, you don't want to be that person, you know, and then you end up becoming that person? And a lot of times it's your parents that you become or something that maybe. But anyway, man, I want to talk about my children all the time. I'll mention them when I talk to the teens, and I'll be talking about them. And you know what I'll get a lot of times? I'll get the, from the girls, and then I'll get these blank stares from the guys. Okay, sometimes I'll get a few laughs, you know, or something like that. What's crazy, though? This is crazy. You know, you're trying to teach them, and you're trying to teach them how to talk, but you end up talking like them. You ever notice that? Is that crazy or what? You know, you start, you know, not pronouncing all the words right and leaving out S's and you know, and not, you know, saying words and stuff. And it's crazy, you know. But, you know, it's true. I think it was Robin who told me and maybe some others. They said, oh, you never understand. You know the... He said, you don't really understand. You think you know the love of God. Then you have a child. And man, God begins to speak. And one of the things that I'm experiencing is God's love. Not just for my child, God's love for his child. I know that God loves me. And God loves you. And I just want to encourage you today, hopefully, let's think about the love of God. Man, we sing that song a lot. Think about his love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Man, let's think about his love. 1 John 3:1 says this. He says, behold, what manner of love. He says, behold, what manner of love that God has lavished the Father. What manner of love the Father has lavished on us. That we should be called the children of God. You think about that. You think about his love right there. As the guys say out on the court, get you some of that right there. Okay? I was going to talk real plain to you. Hey, think about his love. Behold, that's what the Apostle John's saying. He's saying, think about his love. Stop and consider his love. I mean, observe in wonder and in awe and just consider for a moment how great the Father's love is that he should lavish it on us. Not that he should sprinkle it on us. Not that he should just, oh, here's a little dab to do you. No, he lavished it on us. He poured it on us. Man, he bestowed it on us. He freely gave it to us. Think about his love. That he should lavish his love on us. That he should freely bestow the love of God on us. That we should be called the children of God. And then he says, and that is what we are. Man, I like that right there. Man, he says, bestow. He says, behold, stop and think. I'm going to bestow it on you. I'm going to freely give it to you. I'm going to lavish it on you. Receive this, and that you should become the children of God. And that is what we are. He says, be confident in that. Be confident in that. I want to tell you, just working with young people, and I see it in adults, but I see it so much in teenagers. Man, one of the things that they struggle with more than anything is, am I really a child of God? Am I really a child of God? You know, you can have some doubts about that. You can have some doubts. But man, John says, you can be sure about it. You know, he says, you don't have to doubt. God doesn't want to play hide and seek with us, you know. That's why he says over in chapter 5 of 1 John chapter 5, he said, this is our testimony. This is our testimony. He said, this is my testimony. That, he said, he who has the Son has life. This is our testimony that God has given us life. Who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. But these things I write unto you. These things that I write unto you, that those who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, you can know that. And you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to doubt about it. Man, when you leave church on Sunday morning, you lay your head down at night, every night, you can know that you got eternal life. You don't have to doubt it. There's a lot of people that wonder. There's a lot of people when a pastor or a preacher stands up and they says, if you died today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven, that you would spend eternity in heaven? And there are a lot of people who would raise their hand and say, no, I'm not sure. Please pray for me. Man, now listen. I'm going to tell you right now, God wants you to have that assurance. God wants you to know that. He loves you enough to do that. To give you that assurance. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder. Okay? That if you believe in the name of the Son of God, it says that you can have eternal life. You can have it. There are so many people who struggle with that. But he says, John, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he wasn't concerned about that. He says, for himself, he says, this is what we are. We are the children of God. Man, I just want to encourage you, you can leave here today, you walk out those doors, and you can say, I'm a child of God. You can have that if you believe in the name of the Son of God. You put your faith in that. See, we weren't, the crazy thing about it, the amazing thing about that, that we would stop and behold and think about it, is that we weren't his children. We were not his children. We were not born into this world as God's child. You know, a simple, basic truth, but many people, I hear a lot from teens, I hear a lot even from adults, good men, well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. We're not born into this world a child of God. That's why you have to be born again, right? That's why we have to be born again. And so he says in, he says it somewhere. Hold on here. Can I get a T.O.? I get a T.O. Okay, here we go. First, Ephesians chapter 2. There we go. I'm good. Ephesians chapter 2. 22nd time out on that one, okay? 22nd time out. All right, listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2. Man, Mike read some good stuff in 1. Here's 2. Mike was talking about all the blessings we had in 1. Now he tells us the bad news in 2. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse, let's see if I can focus here. All right. Verse 2. Well, let's go ahead in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit which is now at work in those who are disobedient. He's talking about us when we were born into this world. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects or children of wrath. See, we were children of wrath. We were doomed. We're living under a cloud of destruction, okay? That's why Jesus said, hey, I didn't come to condemn the world. You're not believing, you're condemned already. Because we're children of wrath. We're children of destruction. We're living under this cloud. We were born under that cloud. Check this out, it gets better. Get my trombone back out. Hold on a second. All right. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised him up with Christ and saved us and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and he writes out Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's very familiar. But he says, hey, we're children of wrath. You know, we're sinners. And we didn't seek after God. We were seeking our own way. We were going our own way. We were going in opposition to God. We were not a friend of God. We were the enemy of God. But God became our friend. And he says, no greater love than the man has than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid down his life for us. And Paul says, man, but God, man, he loved us. He's rich in his mercy. He bestows upon us his grace. You know, Romans chapter 5, turn over there real quick. Romans chapter 5, listen to this. Verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, he did that just at the right time, just when we needed it most. You see, let me tell you something about God's love. It's without merit. You can't do anything to make God love you more. Can't make anything for God to love you less. God is love. He loves us. Now, listen, we know that God hates sin. We know that God's not pleased when we have sin in our life. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But just know this. Man, we didn't do anything to deserve God's love. Man, He loves us. God shows His love by allowing us to be close to Him. God shows His love by allowing us to be close to Him. Just turn over to Romans chapter 8. Listen to this verse, man. This is so good. Verse 14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father. We know that that term is a term of endearment. It's our closest word. We're told as we read and we study that this word is the closest word that we have to the word daddy. And that we're crying out to him. We're saying daddy. And he gives us that closeness. Listen, man, there's nothing better for me than to have Savannah or Rebecca just crawl up in my lap and they just want to be with daddy. You know? Man, I love that. I love that a lot. I mean, I can have a bad day. I can have, you know, trials. I can have difficulties. I can have disappointments, just struggles that we all go through those. But when I walk home and I go in the door and those girls come running up to me, man, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than that. And it's like all the troubles go away. And you're just there with your babies, you know. And God lets us have that. He gives us that intimacy. He gives us that closeness. Man, Savannah, she's so funny. You know, just crazy things. It's just little things, you know. I don't know why we buy them toys. Man, they can take a pan and just play with it all the time. I mean, this is crazy stuff. But, you know, we got a little spot and at the base of our steps. And you know what she says? She'll come and she'll sit there on there. She'll say, come here, Daddy. Come here. She'll say, let's sit in our spot. Let's sit in our spot. She don't say spot. She say, let's sit in our pot. Let's sit in our pot, you know. And man, I love that, you know. And I like for her to want to be close to me. And, you know, we think about how we can pray to God and we can seek after Him. But here's the thing that we often miss a lot is that God loves it. He loves spending time with us. You know, He gets enjoyment out of that. He likes that. And one of the times that this became a reality in my life is when I was doing this study, Experiencing God, and I recommend that. It's really good. And in that study, Henry Blackaby pointed out a time when Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. And, you know, the story where they sinned, they hid themselves. And God cried out to them. And they said, where are you? God said, where are you? And I don't know that I even really thought much about that. But, you know, he brought out the point of, hey, he's omniscient. God knows everything. Why is he asking them where is he? You know? What he's saying is, when he's asking that question, it's a question of love and endearment. And he's saying, where are you? This is where we used to meet. You know, God loves spending that time. God loves being in that spot with you. God loves being in that spot with you. And man, there's nothing like it, right? And we know that when we leave that spot and we don't hit that spot like we should, you know, every day, and we get out of the habit of that, and then if we come back to it and we think, oh, this is a great spot. And we're in His presence. And we cry out to Him. And we say, Daddy, you know. And we say, Father God, man. We just cry out to Him. And we're close to Him. And we have that intimacy with God. And I like that. God shows His love by allowing us to be close to Him. And God shows his love through prayer. Man, he shows his love through prayer. It talks about his goodness. If you read Matthew chapter 7, he says, you know, ask and you shall receive. He says, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. He says, anyone who keeps on asking will receive. And he says, he who seeks, he says, for everyone who asks will receive, and who seeks, who finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened to you. And then he says this in verse 9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven have good gifts to those who ask him? Man, do you hear about the goodness of God in those verses? And he says that too over in Luke chapter 11, the parallel passage, verse 11. He says it again, Luke 11, and I think it's about verse 11. He says, Luke 11, 11. Y'all know just a couple years ago it was 11, 11, like all the way across the board. You remember that? Ever since that day, every time I look at the clock, it seems like it's 11, 11. I don't know. Just thought I'd mention it. Funny thought on that. We were on a little retreat that week, and this was hilarious. I got to tell this. So my friend had his phone out, and he was looking at his Facebook thing, and this girl put on there, she said, she meant to put on there, I just got engaged at 11-11-11 on 11-11-11. But she misspelled, you know how sometimes you type in things. She said, I just got engaged, but she put on there, I just got engagged at 11-11-11. You know, funny. We laughed at that. Funny thing is, it's not the girls who get engagged, it's the guys who get engagged, right? They can never speak after they get married. Okay, just kidding. I'm only serious. Okay, no, just kidding. All right, so Luke 11, 11, he says this, which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, God wants to give us good things. Man, You want to bless your children, right? I mean, you want to do for them. Man, God wants to bless us. And I remember, man, you know, we all go through struggles. Maybe sometimes our faith weakens, or we doubt sometimes. And you know, we being, you know, missionaries, and we're trying to raise support, and we're, you know, but we're all like that. It doesn't matter if you're in a by faith mission, or if you're working a full-time, you know, job out, you know, society or whatever, we wonder sometimes. And, you know, Lindsay and I were going through that. You know, we go through that from time to time. And we were talking about it one day, and we were thinking, okay, well, how's God going to take care of this? You know, what's God going to do? And there's a little bit of, you know, there was concern there. And I'll never forget, man, Savannah came up to me, or she came around the corner, and she just asked me for something. And I said, yeah, I'll do that for you. And I thought, man, I just love her. I just love that little girl. And I want to do stuff for her. I want to bless her. And God said to me, he said, Mark, if you love her and you want to do for her, just think how much I love you, and I'm going to take care of you. And he said, man, he said, you're evil. I know y'all don't think that about me, but I'm evil. Hey, you're evil too, okay? Our nature, man, we're just away from God, apart from God. There's no good thing in us. But even in that, we want to bless our children. But we're talking, he's going from the lesser to the greater, and he's saying, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to bless you? Man, you're evil, and you want to do good? Man, I'm a good God. I want to bless you. And he said, I'm not going to try to trick you. He said, I'm not going to give you anything to cause you pain or that would harm you. He says, man, I want to bless you. I want to be good. And Bruce mentioned that last Sunday. He said, we serve a good God. Do you believe that we serve a good God? Man, he's not up there looking to, they messed up. Let me smash them, you know, okay? He's not looking for that. Man, he's wanting to bless his children. You know why? Because he loves them. It's in his nature. Man, he's a good God. He shows us his love through prayer. You know what? I'll tell you another way that God shows us how much he loves us. And that's when we hurt, he hurts. And I don't know what hurt you're going through. I don't know what pain you have in your life. And we can have situations that are similar, and we can sympathize a little bit, but every situation is different. And I wish I could come up to everyone who's hurting and just put my arm around you and say, I know what you're going through, and just love on you, but I can't really do that. But God can. God can do that. He knows exactly what you're going through. That's what he tells us in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. For this reason, talking of Christ, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And if you turn over to Hebrews 4:15, it says, and we don't have a high priest who can't be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. But he can't. We got a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses and our struggles and our trials and our temptations. Man, Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. And he loves you. Amen. And he wants to give us hope. He's a God of hope. He loves us. Man, when we hurt, God hurts. And what's Psalm chapter 3, verse 3? It says, Thou, Lord, are a shield about me, and you're the lifter of my head. Man, how many times has he lifted my head? How many times have I been downcast? How many times does God say, man, I've loved you with an everlasting love? And he says, and you're upheld by my everlasting arms. And he holds us in his arms. He holds us in his hand. And Isaiah says, man, he says, can a mother forget a nursing child? He said, though she may forget, he says, I will not forget you. Man, I know Lindsay. I tell Lindsay all the time. I kidded her before we got pregnant. I said, there's nothing like a mother's love. You know, she'd say, are you going to help me change diapers? I say, baby, there's nothing like a mother's love. I would tell her that all the time. And so I would always say that. You know, I tell her that all the time. And but there isn't like anything like it. And I know she loves, and she nurses those babies, and she takes care of them. But, I know she's tired because she gets up in the middle of the night, and she's got those kids, and man, I've seen her. She said, oh, gosh, I drifted off to sleep, or she starts thinking about things she's got to do during the day, and you know, moms especially, man, you know all about that kind of stuff. Guys, we don't have a clue, but, you know. But listen, a nursing mother, they may forget their child. Their mind may wander, but God says, I will not forget you. You know what God is thinking about? You know who God is thinking about? God's thinking about you. Listen, God's not, it's not a collective you. It's an individual chair you. Okay? Man, God's thinking about you. God knows what you're going through. He sympathizes with your hurts and your pains and your struggles. Oh, man, I see Savannah. She'll fall or something will hurt her. Or I've even seen her where like she'll want to be friends with a kid or something like that. Or maybe they're not as, you know, friendly or, you know, as open to that. You may see it at the playground or this, that, and the other. And I'm like, oh, man, you can tell she's kind of hurt. I hurt. And God says, I know what you're going through. I know your struggles. I know what you're battling. And he says, I'm sympathizing with you. See, he was made to be like us. God is not far away. He's close to us. And he's near to those who are brokenhearted. He's close to us. And he hurts when we hurt. And then, man, he even told Paul, he said, Paul said, oh, God, deliver me. I got this thorn in my flesh. And he said, hey, man, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Man, just when you're at your weakest moment, God says, he throws his grace. My grace is sufficient for you. My supernatural strength, it's there for you. And he lifts us up and he carries us through. He carries us through. God's love, man, that's a great thing. Let me just say it again. How great, behold, how great the Father's love that he would lavish it on us, that we should even be called his children. And that is what we are. That's who I am. That's how much God loves me. I ain't nothing great. You can tell that by listening to me. You get to know me even better. You'll say, gosh, he loves you. Yes, God loves me. He loves me. He loves you today. Man, I wish it was all real feel-good stuff, but you know, hey, you know a parent's love, right? Parents' love has to do the dirty work too. And I'm not just talking about changing diapers, okay? Sometimes God has to discipline us. He disciplines those he loves. In Hebrews chapter 12, turn with me there. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 4. Verse 4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. And no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. And later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And God says, if you're my son, I'm going to discipline you. And, you know, I can't discipline other people's children, but, man, Lindsay and I, we're responsible for Savannah and Rebecca. They're ours. And a child that's not disciplined is a child that's not loved. You can just let a child go on and do its own thing, and you don't train them, you don't teach them, then you're not loving that child. And God says, I'm going to prove my love to you, and I'm going to show my love to you by disciplining. And so at times, hey, you know, you just have to, you know, you have to correct them. And you have to discipline them. Listen how God says that he disciplines us. And I thought this was a great truth. And I first read this in a Bible study called The Secrets of the Vine by Bruce Wilkinson. And I encourage you to read it. It's a great little Bible study. It's just a small book, but be good for a small group to do. It's a good little study, but. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And he says, do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines or he chastens those he loves. And he punishes or he scourges everyone he accepts as a son. And in that book, he says, God does his discipline in three ways. He often starts with a rebuke, a verbal warning. Of, hey, stop doing that. You know, don't do that anymore. This is wrong. You know, you get those verbal warnings a lot when you come to church. You know, a preacher may preach on a sin or that may be in your life or a bad habit or something. You hear the rebuke, okay? And he's saying, stop. And that's a good place to stop, okay? When God says, don't do that. Or, you know, let's get this right in your life. Let's get these priorities right. Or, you know, he rebukes us. It's like a father or a mother would do to their child. They would say, hey, you know, don't do that. Don't go up here on the stage. Or, you know, you give, don't do this or else. You know, you give a verbal warning, okay? God often rebukes us. Sometimes it stings, you know. Sometimes that verbal warning stings, but it's meant to bring us to holiness and to life and to righteousness. And then he says, the Lord disciplines or chastens those he loves. So he disciplines, he chastens us. And that's where God, he gives us some soul discomfort. It's no longer just a verbal warning, okay? It's when a parent says, you know, quit talking at the table, and they don't quit talking, and then, or they keep, you know, goofing off at the table, you say, quit goofing off, and then you say, go to your room, you know? All of a sudden, no more dinner. Oh, you know, give them the old time out, okay? All right, you know, or whatever, you know, something like that. It's like I was kidding Jordan Tate. We were on a retreat several years ago, and we were doing something spiritual. I think we were playing cards or something, Uno, something real devilish. But we were playing Uno or something. But people were laughing, and I think they were picking on some guy, and somebody said something, and we were trying to get him to stop, and we had told him to stop, and then somebody said something, and Jordan laughed, and I looked at Jordan, and I said, Jordan, go to your room. And he stopped laughing. You know, he got all serious. Well, I was just kidding, you know. But, you know, it brought some little discomfort to him, you know. So this past week on Facebook, I told Jordan, I said, happy birthday. Go to your room. Okay. But anyway, so, you know, it's when the things that used to bring you, the thing that you were looking for happiness no longer satisfies you. You know, the pressure at work increases, or maybe, you know, a relationship that's gone bad, or, you know, teenagers or, you know, singles that are in a relationship that's not right, and God has already told them, hey, this is wrong. And yet they keep going there. They disobey the voice, and God begins to cause a little unrest in their heart and their soul. He chastens us. You know, the things that used to bring us joy are no longer bringing us joy. And this one, oftentimes, he said in this book, Bruce Wilkerson, he said, this is one that sometimes we forget about or we ignore. You know, we don't realize we're in. It's somebody who's at odds with the church, maybe, or, you know, not in every case when somebody, but they're just unfulfilled in church. And the reason is because they're just away from God, and there's sin in their life, and things just aren't right. And so the Bible says he calls that his chastening, his discipline. He's already given you the verbal warning, and you're not listening. And so the things in your life are not just bringing you that fulfillment and that contentment. I can relate because, man, God, for years, God was saying, Mark, I want you to be in ministry. And I was saying no. I wasn't really saying no, but I was acting no, okay? And I can remember I was in sales, I sold floor covering and all kinds of junk. And the guy was a good guy, and it was a good job, but I wasn't happy. You know what it was? It was the soul discomfort. It was God chastening me. And I can remember someone said, well, do you ever think God might be trying to get your attention? And he was. It was a chastening. But listen, he says, if you don't listen to my rebuke, you don't listen to the chastening, the discipline. He says in verse 6, because the Lord, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. He scourges. That word literally means to whip, to inflict punishment, to be beaten. It's the same word. He says he was scourged for our transgression. It's the same type of punishment that Jesus received that he speaks of in the Gospels. And so God sometimes turns up the heat. He gets our attention. He has to scourge us. He has to, if we're living in open sin and we're just continually disobedient to His voice, man, sometimes He even brings that physical punishment to our life. Why does He do that? Because He loves us. He says He does this to everyone He accepts to a son. We've all been that. He says to everyone He accepts as a son. And so, just like I love Savannah and Rebecca, and if they don't listen to my rebuke and if they keep going on, there were times I will take the paddle. And you know the rest, right? Okay? And so, man, we don't want to be like that for God. We want to listen to Him. We want to receive that instruction. And there's two responses that we can have. You know, he says, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. There are a lot of people who make light of it. And they just, oh yeah, no big deal. Okay, yeah, everything's good. You take it lightly. Man, if God's trying to get your attention, if He's been speaking to you about something in your life, man, He's given you the verbal warning. He's rebuked you. Maybe you've been unhappy about something. You've been unfulfilled. Man, don't let it get to the next point. Don't let it get there. Don't take it lightly. I'll never forget, man, I talked to a kid on a retreat one time, and he heard the warnings. We knew God was speaking to him. He was unhappy. He was miserable. And he just kept doing his thing and not listening to God. And I know about a week or two after that, he was at home and he had a wreck. He was involved in a wreck. And I thought, man, is that God trying to get his attention? Is that God disciplining him? Not every bad thing that happens is that, but you gotta, that's where you examine your relationship with God. So don't take it lightly. But then he says, and do not lose heart. Man, don't lose heart. Man, sometimes we mess up and God speaks to us and we think, am I ever going to get it right? You know, I'm just going to keep failing. Gosh, I blew it again. And boy, Satan, that's when Satan likes to pounce on you. And he says, oh yeah, you're good for nothing. Okay? All right? You know, you ain't going to make it. You done blew it again. Man, he says, don't lose heart. He says, don't take it light because God's going to make it right. Don't lose heart. There's always a new start. Look at me, I'm rhyming up here. I'm going to get a little rap going on, okay? Give him a mouth. Okay, yeah, all right. Now, listen. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Because the great thing about God's love is that it's eternal. It's eternal. It's everlasting. I'm always going to love my girls. I'm always going to love them. I got a friend. His girl has went the way of the world. Oh, my goodness. I can't even have her on my Facebook page. I know I mention Facebook a lot. I ain't a big Facebook person. But, you know, anyway, it's life, right? That's how it is. So, but, man, I said I can't have her stuff on my page. It's too profane. Not just in word, but in pictures. I'm still her friend. But I ain't having her stuff come on my page. But I know that guy still loves his daughter. He still loves her. I'm always going to love my girls. You always going to love your babies. I want to tell you, God always loves you. Jeremiah 31:3, man, he says, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. I love this verse. John 13, upper room, Jesus with his disciples. And he said, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. Guess who was in that group? Judas. Somebody who betrayed him. How about Peter? Peter denied him. How about Thomas deserting? All the disciples deserted him. He said in John chapter 16, he said, I'm going away. And he said, no. He said, I'm going away. And he said, before I go, he said, you're all going to desert me. Do you know what he said after that? He said, but I'm not alone. The Father's with me. Man, Father's love. He's eternal. I mean, it's everlasting. He's going to love us to the end. Whether you're a betrayer, whether you're a denier, whether you're a deserter, God still loves you. It's eternal. Romans chapter 8, man, he says, what shall separate us from the love of God? He says, nothing. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. You ought to go and read Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37. It's great. All the, he says, Satan, wickedness, trials, temptations, struggles, everything. Can it separate me? He said, no, man, nothing can separate us from me. And all these things were more than conquerors. Man, God's love is eternal. He loved them to the end. He's never going to stop loving you. Yes, he gets our attention. He's going to change us. He's going to make us more like him because we're his child. But he never stops loving us. Guess what? You got a love like that? You want to tell somebody about it, don't you? You just got to tell somebody about it. You can't be silent about it. I mean, you know, you got to share it. I love my girls. I love them. I talk about them. Man, we could be talking about anything at the office, and I tell Chief, guess what Savannah did? I had to start talking about her, you know. I know that's the father for their child. But, man, when you love somebody, you're telling them about it. You know, think about the verse. How great the Father's love for us that we that he lavished his love on us, that we should become the children. That is what we are. With confidence, you can say that you are loved by God. It's like a woman who gets the engagement ring. You know what they're saying? Oh, look. Come and look. Check this out. They're not silent about it. Hey, y'all, how you doing? Hey, you know, they're showing everything. You know, they're doing sign language, you know. They're telling everybody about it because they're excited about that love. It's official, man. They are getting married. And they got that ring on there, and they're saying, behold, look at this ring. Look at the love. He loves me, okay? It's like the couple got married here, Greg and Crystal, yeah. Hey, she's so proud of those pictures. She got them all over the computer and stuff, and she loves it. That's awesome because she is feeling the love. Man, I feel his love. Don't you know that God loves you? This is what Paul said, 2 Corinthians. You know the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I think it's about verse 14. It says this. Listen to this. Paul said in verse 13, if we are out of our mind, he said, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. He said, man, it's the love of Christ that compels us. It's the love of Christ that moves me along. It's the love of Christ that motivates me. It's the love of Christ that makes me want to love other people. It's the love of Christ that makes me want to speak to others about Jesus. It's the love of Christ that makes me want to sing out, man. I want to sing, and, you know, it's so funny because, you know, Savannah's in here now before she goes to Children's Church, and so a lot of times I'm holding her. She's experiencing what Faith and some of them others have been over here behind me or in front of me. I remember the first time I sat behind Faith, I was singing out, man, and they looking over like, okay, you're weird. Okay, quit. You're not a good singer or something. I don't know. I don't care. I'm going to sing. You know why I'm singing? Because I still remember. I remember the day the Lord saved me. I remember his faithfulness. I remember his goodness to me. God loves me, man. And so I want to sing out. There's no fear in life. There's no guilt. Man, there's nothing like that, man. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. He's loving me to the end. And if I'm out of my mind, then I'm out of my mind for Christ. And we're just singing and we're worshiping and I'm speaking up for God and I can tell people about God and I can be awkward in that. I was telling the kids last week and talking about telling people about Jesus. Just remember, awkward is awesome, you know. And so sometimes it's awkward. But man, it's awesome because you're telling someone about Jesus and his love, and it's real. And it says, the love of Christ compels me. It moves me along. It motivates me. You've got to tell somebody about it because it's real in your life. Is it real in your life? If it's real in your life, then you're telling other people about it. It's the love of Christ. It's awesome. Man, the love of Christ. I've got to tell about it. Let's bow our heads. Ruth is going to come and play. I just want to pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for your love. We don't deserve it. Never have, never will. But you freely bestow it upon us, Lord. You pour it on us. You lavish it on us, God. It's a free gift. Thank you for it, God. Even when we were sinners, God. Heck, God, you said in your word, even before the foundation of the world, you chose us. You loved us. Thank you so much for that. God, I'm praying for anybody here today that doesn't know your love. Maybe they're in the beginning of this message, God, you were speaking to them about doubting their salvation. Maybe there's no doubt. They know they're not saved. They've never experienced your love. They're children of wrath. God, I'm praying that they'll be saved today, that they will leave here knowing that they are loved by the Father. Maybe some are discouraged. Maybe some begin to doubt that you care. I pray, God, for them, Lord. Comfort them, God. Please, God, lift their head, Lord. Help them to see your light, God. Thank you, God, that you're so good. Did you tell us to come to you, Lord? Maybe some have drifted from that spot. Oh, God, I pray they'll come back to that intimacy, Lord, knowing that you want to be close to them, God. Oh, Father, just speak to our hearts, Lord. Maybe you've spoken to someone about they need to witness to someone. They need to share that love with someone. God, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to be excited about you, God. Lord, we give this time to you. We just pray that we would be obedient in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Have God spoken to your heart about something today? You just want to come and pray. Maybe this is a spot you need to get back to. You drifted from the spot at home and you just say, God, hey, I want to make that sweet spot with you real again. I just want to come forward. Whatever it is, just come. I will say this. If you need prayer about anything, especially about salvation, you're not saved, maybe you're doubting. Just please come forward. I can talk to you. I can let you talk to someone else, and they can show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you are saved. Just be obedient. If God's telling you to come, then come. If not, then just stay. Well, we give invitations from time to time, and I just want to say that the invitation is always open. You know, sometimes it's a formal invitation. Sometimes it's, hey, come to us afterwards. But it's always open. You know, just because we leave the service doesn't mean the invitation's closed. So if God is speaking to you, and He continues to seek after you, continues to speak to you, and you feel you need to talk to someone, you want someone to pray with you, then just be sure to call the church. Carla can give you my number or one of the deacons' number, and we'd be glad to talk to you and pray with you and try to help you from the Word of God. So let's just have a closing word of prayer. Thank you for listening and sometimes putting up with my silliness and everything. God's good. Thank you for His love. God, amazing love. How can it be that You would die for me? Thank You so much, God. Help us to think about Your love. Think about Your love. Think about Your goodness, God. May we never forget about it, Lord. May we walk in that. May we live in that. May we be reminded of that. And may we share it with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.